Hey everybody, it's day 6 of me being in Egypt, and today has been fantastical. So we're going to start with a sound. I want y'all to hear this sound, so check this out. That is my doorbell. Now, let me tell you why that's important. For the past 2 days, people have been coming by my house to take care of things, and they've been saying that they knocked on my door. Now, I told y'all, the way my apartment is situated, I'm kind of like inside the apartment. So I kept saying, I'm not hearing anybody. Right now I'm walking downstairs. I'm gonna go outside and finish this podcast. I'm not hearing anybody. Well, this morning I hear this noise. Whatever. I can't really recreate it, but y'all heard it. And I thought they were testing the fire alarm. So when it came time for people to come over, I was like, nobody's coming over. They're saying they're knocking and I'm not hearing it. Well, this morning I got on the couch because the Wi-Fi guy was supposed to come by, and I hear this noise over and over and over and over and over and over and over, but it doesn't sound like a doorbell. It absolutely does not sound like an American doorbell. So I didn't open my door. Come to find out, that was my doorbell, y'all. That sound that you heard, that's my doorbell. And I had lied on these people, telling them, y'all, you ain't came by my house. No, sir, not knocking. And they kept saying they were knocking. So I'm literally, you know, expecting to hear a knock. But that's my doorbell. So today was a very productive day. It made up for yesterday. It made up for all the disrespect and the weirdness of culture that I experienced. Let's go from where it started. I got up. Luckily, I slept through the night. I went to bed at normal time. Like, I got sleepy around 9:30 my time. And I did wake up about 4, but it wasn't enough. I had to turn over. I had to just turn over and go back to sleep. So that was good. Because lately, before that, my body, I would wake up and I would be up on Texas time. So I get up this morning and, you know, ease into the day. I journal and, get things started. I get a call from the school telling me that I needed to come in and bring my paperwork. Now, let me tell you about my door, and it's 3 stories up with no elevator. My door, the way it locks, you have to have the key the total time. Hello. You have to have the key the total time. So what I mean by that is, I think I explained this to y'all yesterday, where you have to have a key to unlock the door. And when you get on the inside of the door, you have to have the key to lock the door. So it's like a master lock, a deadbolt, I guess, where I can't unlock my door and then put the key in my purse, close the door, and lock the door with my hand. It's not that kind of lock. You always have to have the key. And today was crazy. The same thing goes with my bedroom. You have to have the key to lock the bedroom door. So you can't get in my bedroom, put the key in the purse, and lock it with your hands. You have to have that key. So I grab my paperwork and I walk around the corner to the main gate and go to the school. Now, that walk is probably it may be right at 7 minutes. It's not a long walk at all, but it's hot out here. It's hot out here, and it's only hot because I done put on my little scarf and I done covered my arms, right? I get all the way around to the gate. You know, guy's standing there and he has a little temperature thing, and he says to me, mask. And I'm like, son of a bitch. So I don't play with them. They don't play with me. I turn around. I walk back. And now I'm kind of like hot because it's sweaty. I got this shawl on and this scarf. And I have a bottle of water. So my hands aren't really free. I walk back. Go up the stairs. Unlock the door. Take the key out. Close the door. Lock it back. Because even though I'm just going to get a mask, I'm not going to just leave my door open because my room is like in the apartment. So you actually are vacating the door space when you do that. So I had to lock the door back, then take that key out, and then go and unlock my bedroom door. Go in my bedroom, get the mask, leave my bedroom, lock the door back, and then leave the front door, unlock it, open it, and then lock it back. I get back around there, having the mask. Boom, I'm on campus. Now, mind you, I done told y'all I walk a 7-minute walk to the main gate. I'm still not familiar with the area because I'm still shook from my experience with the great man. So, I'm just trying to go where I'm supposed to go. Get into the school, get to the front desk. The lady is on the phone. I need to ask her, where's the main office? So I wait, she's on the call, and she's irritated. Whoever's on the call with her, she's irritated with them, but she looks at me, I nod, she nods back, so I get it. She's like, just be patient with me, boo. And I'm like, okay, I got it. She gets off the phone, I tell her, I'm here to see Nancy, who is the person who called me and said, hey, we need you to come to the main office. And she's like, who is Nancy? And I'm like, I just need to find the main office. So she's like, go here to the left and to the left. So I walk in the main office, and there's three people in there, four. It's two women, a child, roughly about the age of 9, maybe 7. Nah, he had to be 8 or 9, and an older man. The older man is who I need to see. And he is high strung. Now, I done told y'all, these men around here, they talk to you any kind of way. They do whatever they want to do. So I am like peeping game right now. His little secretary, she's like all calm, but he's hollering at her. He's like, whatever that, I'm not going to do that because eventually I'll be able to speak this language and it'll come out just the way I need it. But he's like hollering at her and she's on the phone. The kid sees me and goes around the desk to where his father is. So now the kid is around the desk with his father, just kind of piddling. Now, in America, it would be go sit down somewhere, get out the way. Not in this case. Boy, children have a lot of privilege. So the kid is just doing his thing, and the dad is kind of like sitting back, looking at the secretary. She hangs up the phone. The phone rings again. He picks it up, says a few words, and then he starts yelling into the phone and just hangs it up. So I just witnessed him hang up in somebody's face, and then he looks at me. I just want to give him this paperwork. That's all I want to do. So I'm hyper aware. I'm hyper paying attention. I know I don't know the language, but I'm hyper. Like, look, don't start none, won't be none. Y'all know Highland Hills, Oak Cliff. Don't start none, won't be none. So he says, Kamika Spencer. I was like, yeah. He's give me your paperwork. So I give him the paperwork. I explain to him that my letter of experience has not come back from the embassy in Houston, and I do have a tracking number, so it's being tracked, so forth. So he says, okay, I have to do my blood work in the morning at 8 o'clock. Took my passport, made copies of it. It was pretty seamless, but I think it was only because I was like really paying attention and I didn't want to aggravate him any more than he was already aggravated. But I realized this dude is just high strung. He's high strung all the time. Like, it's their culture. It is their culture. They yell at each other. They talk to each other crazy. But it's the culture. So if somebody's talking to you crazy, you get to talk to them crazy, and ain't nothing gonna happen. Ain't nobody gonna fight you. You just talking to each other crazy. So They take my paperwork, and then we proceed to, do you have internet? Do you have, they're going to change the locks on your doors. You got to go back over to your apartment because they're going to change the locks on your doors. Do you have internet? We're going to send somebody over there to get you internet. What about your phone? Well, when you get your internet, bring your phone back, and we'll put the SIM card in. Because I had tried to put the SIM card in, and everything came up in Arabic. And I was like, we not finna do this because I can't read Arabic. So I put my AT&T SIM card back in. Well, anyway, now I got a schedule. And he's like, you need to do your blood work in the morning. Do you have your pictures? Well, once again, I have been told you can do your pictures when you get over here. And I tell him no, and he almost loses it. He's just like, what the hell? You don't have your pictures? Now, he's not saying this, but it's all in his body language. He's just like, this shit ain't prepared. That's what you feel. You get the... You get the total feeling that this dude is high strung, needs a hug. So he's like, well, you got to have your picture in the morning. You cannot have, he's like, just go get one picture so that we can get your blood work done in the morning. So I'm like, where? And that's where it kind of ended. He was like, you need to go get a picture. So I call Nancy, and Nancy's like, I got you, girl. I'll pick you up at 4:30 when I get off, and I'll take you to go get your pictures. Make sure you have, you know, enough money, you know, enough pounds to take care of it, and it should be, you know, she tells me what it's going to cost. Hello.
Hey.
So I go and do that. Then I come home, and I'm tired, y'all. Like, my body is still adjusting. So I set my alarm clock to let me sleep for 30 minutes. And I lay on the couch because now, let me see, had I realized that that's what the doorbell sounded like? No, I hadn't. I lay on the couch and I'm waiting, still waiting for somebody to come by and knock. Mark calls me, Mark Lucky. Remember Mr. Lucky? Mark Lucky, he's one of the executives here, calls me. Hey, Kamika, do you have your, are you going to come back over here? Some. And I was like, yeah, I'm waiting for the guys for the Wi-Fi. And I'm waiting for them to knock, you know. He's like, what about your doorbell? And I said, I got a doorbell. So I go out and lo and behold, what looks like a light switch is my doorbell. So I press it and I hear that sound and I go, well, I be damned. So I apologize. I'm like, I'm sorry. They probably did come by here. I didn't know this was a doorbell. Y'all kept saying knocking, but ain't nobody trying to hear me explain. So I immediately just kind of shut myself down and realized, okay, you're listening for that sound. So I lay down. I'm not asleep 5 minutes and the doorbell rings and it's the guy for the Wi-Fi. So he comes in. I show him where to put the Wi-Fi. I stay in the living room because he sets it up in my bedroom. You too. He sets it up in my bedroom, and I don't go in there with him. And I'm praying to God that I close my closet door, which I hadn't. So, you know, whatever. He goes in, he sets it up, and he comes out, and he says, it's done. No, he doesn't say that. Your Wi-Fi is finished, whatever. And he says something, 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 and all I hear is broadband. Something, 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 broadband. Broadband, something, something. And I just look at him like a deer in headlights, and I shake my head no, and I say English only. And he looks at me and says Arabic only. And thus begins this teaching process. He touches a table, and he tells me the Arabic word for table, and I repeat it. He touches a chair, and he tells me the Arabic word for chair, and I repeat it. And he touches the DVD player. No, he touches the TV. He tells me the Arabic word for TV, and I repeat it. And then he touches the DVD player, and he says, receiver. And I repeat it. Now, for those of you who don't know how to read between the lines, what I'm saying to you is I don't remember any of those other words because everything was happening so fast. So he says, telephone, where's your telephone? So I take out the little telephone that we had that's not plugged up, and he sets it on the couch, and he walks out of the apartment. Now, mind you, I got to go back over to the school to get my SIM card put in my phone, so I don't know if he's gone. I don't know if he's coming back. He just walks out of the apartment, leave the door. He closes the door behind him. Well, I don't have time to go find him and figure it out. So I grab my stuff and I go back over to the school to get my SIM card put in. get over to put my SIM card in. The guy that was like, I'll be right here, he's not there. So I have to sit in the office a little bit, wait for him to come. And he finally comes and puts my SIM card in, gets me set up, and I'm ready to rock and roll. I got internet now. I got my international SIM card. I got an international phone number. I'm good to go. All I got to do now is wait to 4:30 for Nancy to come get me, and we're going to go get these pictures. So I go back and reset my phone for a 30-minute nap. Because I need it. My body is still like, you cannot push through this. You got to lay down. Just let me control this. I got you. You'll be fine by Wednesday orientation. So I lay down. And just as I go to sleep, I hear the doorbell. I open the doorbell. And the guys that came in and got my oven together and got my door locks together, they are bringing in cutlery and more cookware for me to cook with. They bring me a cutting board, some towels, sheets. But they mostly hooked me up in the kitchen with some of the things that I had put on my list that I needed. And it's great. So that's that. I lay down and I wait for Nancy. Now, somewhere in there, when I was going back to have my SIM card put in, I'm coming down the stairs and I meet this guy and he's like, hello, you work here? And I'm like, yeah, I'm Kamika. And he's like, my name is Jinx. So I was like, Jinx? He's like, yeah, it's Jinx. And he looks like Jinx, J-I-N-X, Jinx. He's an older gentleman, and he's fly. He has a 5 o'clock shadow. He looks like he just came in from day drinking, but he's really cool. I'm Jinx, and he walks me over there, and we kind of get to know each other, and then we have to separate really quick because he's going in a total different direction than I'm going. So I've met Jinx. I'm on the couch. I'm trying to sleep. I get a phone call that I have to take, so I'm taking this phone call, talking. And I talk on this call until it's time for me to, till Nancy is at my door and me and Nancy set out. Now, Nancy lives right across the hall. She has a son and, she's very serious. She's very organized. She speaks Arabic. And she's just very to the point. Let's take care of this. 'Cause I gotta go. I've been at work all day and I don't want to do any more than I have to do. So, you know, we take care of business. Now, I have to go and get some pictures done. Now, what I thought was around the corner is we go to a whole different compound that is so Oak Cliff. It's not even Oak Cliff, dude. It's beyond Oak Cliff. Because what I'm realizing about these Egyptian streets down here where I am in Giza, there are no red lights, y'all. Ain't no lights. The freeway system is run like Camp Wisdom. But without lights. I don't know how to make that. I don't know how to make it any clearer. I can't say it any other way. If Camp Wisdom had five lanes, maybe. You know what? There are no lanes. There are no lanes. I just realized that. There are no lanes. And everything from motorbikes to camels to cows is on this highway. Like, just imagine you on R.L. Thornton. And there are people on the side selling shit. It's trash everywhere. And it's cows, dogs, people. Bikes, minibuses, and there are no visible lanes in the street. And Nancy is rocking this car like motherfucking Evel Knievel. Like, she's just rocking it. Like, we ain't getting no dents and we blowing horns. And I'm scared all the time because I'm like, I've never seen anything like this, let alone been in the thick of it. But people are literally like walking out in front of the car across the highway, across the freeway. They are walking out in front of the cars. And I'm just like astounded because I see cows, I see goats, and I see camels on the highway. No fences, no herders. They out there like everybody else, like just doing what they do. And it's astounding. And I tried to catch it on video, but I had it on photo and all I got was a picture of the cows. So I posted it on my Instagram. So if you see that, just understand there was some goats and camels in that picture as well. And she's kind of hipping me to everything. We go back to the Mall of Egypt, where I'm very thankful that she's with me because she speaks Arabic, and then we don't have no problems. We go in, get what I need, and we get up out of there. And you know, I have to tell her I'm not a shopper. I don't do the mall. That's not my thing. You know, I'm a museum, bookstore kind of person. She tells me where the McDonald's is. I say, no, you don't have to worry about that because I don't eat McDonald's. And she's just really cool and kosher. Well, we get to this compound, which is hood as fuck. It's hood as fuck, hood as fuck. Like, I can't say it any other way. Hood, 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 hood. But Egyptian hood. So it's like these buildings, and each building looks different. The architecture on them is great, but it's a poor area. You know you're in a poor area. And we go to this Kodak place. And when I tell y'all, imagine, let me see, how can I put this? Imagine going into a bodega that doesn't have lights, and all they're depending on is the light from outside, but they don't even have windows for the light to come through. The only way that light is getting in is through that front door. And it's not even a double door. It's just a glass door. So it's dark in there. And Nancy comes in, and she's, you know, talking to the guy in their language, in Arabic, and they work it out. And he tells us to go into this back room. Now, I don't know about y'all, but if I've ever been somewhere where human trafficking is possibly taking place, that's what it felt like. It was, that hallway was fucking dark. And when we turned into the room where they actually took the pictures, I was like, me and Nancy finna die. We finna die. We finna get kidnapped. We're gonna be trafficked. It was that kind of feeling. It was very dark. It was very foreboding. And there's no way I would have been able to manage that by myself. No way. I'd have been like, you want me to go where? And I'd have been like, I'm finna go and get back in this Uber and head back over here so that this man can fuss and cuss me out in Arabic. There was no way I was going to be able to do it. So I was really thankful that Nancy was there. So she talked to the guy, and we go back there, and she's with me. So it's like we're about to get a botched abortion. It's very much that. It's like dark, it's spooky, it's grimy, but it's set up like a photography studio. So the guy comes back, and he takes my picture, and we take care of everything. It cost me, I think it was like 30 pounds, which in American money was like, what was it? I used my Egyptian money, so I had 100 pounds, and it was 30 pounds, so I got my 70 pounds back. Anyway, that was that. But it was profound that, see, where I live, they call it dreamland, and there's a lot of use of the words like paradise, and they're very interested in creating a heavenly feeling in certain spaces here in Egypt. It's very motivated by the Muslim culture. So you'll hear a lot of places called paradise. You'll hear a lot of places like dreamland. But this particular compound that we went to, if I could just, and I'm not going back by myself. It's not the place, you know, that I'd be like going back by myself, because I would be total tourist and I would want to take so many pictures and, you know, really try to grab the essence of the space. But one of the things that I saw in all of the, I don't even want to say desolation or desperation, because it was just, you know, poor people are poor people and they have their own way of doing things. But there was this woman. She was thin. She was brown skinned, not like my brown, but you know, she was browner than what I've been experiencing. She's walking around in all black, her hijab, like everything. She wasn't like blacked out, but she was blinged out. And it was weird seeing this sophisticated, diamond-studded, dressed woman walking in this area. Because for me, it was noticeable. I'm like, she fly. What is going on right now? And I noticed her. I noticed her because that, I don't know what the whole word is called. And I'm telling y'all, I'll get it, but y'all got to be patient with me. It was diamond studded. It was like, not diamond studded, but it had bling. And it wasn't just like, just on the cuffs of her of her outfit. It was all down the side. It was like a superstar, like hood superstar Muslim woman. And I noticed her. And I'm just telling y'all, I noticed her. So we've gotten my groceries from the mall. We go get the pictures. We check the pictures. We're going to do it. And we come back. Well, I had bought some water, a box of waters. Water is very important here for me. And I had a couple of bottles, but I was like, I need to like stack my water. So the box of water was pretty heavy. And mind you, I don't have elevators. So Nancy was like, Mahmoud. Am I saying his name right? Mahmoud. Yeah. She was like, Mahmoud will bring the boxes up. So we get here and we take everything out the car except the water. And I'm walking in and I want to ask Nancy, what is this fruit bush that's in front of the building? And she's like, hold on. So she starts going, Mahmoud. Mahmoud. And Mahmoud ain't responding. He's at the gate, security gate. So she starts walking away from me towards going back up to the security gate. Mahmoud. 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 Never mind, she got a... She has her mask on and everything. Mahmoud. And she ends up having to damn near go all the way back up to the security booth to get this dude. Now, that goes all the way back to, I'm telling y'all, you're either waiting on Muslim men or they're yelling at you for not moving fast enough. That's just it. It's no in between. They don't care what time you got to do anything until it's time for them to do something. So he comes all the way back. We get everything upstairs and everything is all good. And guess what I find out? This is a pomegranate bush. It's pomegranates growing right outside my building. So that's important because, and Katasha Varner, was Katasha with me? One year when I was in Jonathan Tyler and the Northern Lights, I went and had my palm read. And I think Katasha was with me because it was my birthday. And I got a recording of the reading. And one of the things that the woman said was, I see 17 pomegranates. And she kind of equated that with children. Like, do you have any children? Are you around? This is before I taught. And for a little while, I was thinking, oh, this is all about me teaching. But now I'm like, no, maybe this is what this was about. And I don't know what the number 17 is, but I think it will be revealed. But yeah, there's a pomegranate bush. When I step outside my door, there's a pomegranate bush. And if I haven't posted a picture on my Instagram, I'll post it. So that was pretty important to me. It was pretty special because I didn't know they were pomegranates. They're kind of small. Let me see. That was that. And right before I come home and I do a duo call with my mom and brother. And then I proceed to take my groceries out and put everything away. And I'm coming outside to do this podcast. And who do I meet on the stairs but Jinx? And he's like, oh, I was just coming up to see you. So I'm like, come on up, Jinx. I like you. You got flair and I'm about your spirit. And I'm like, come on up. So he comes up and we do, you know, we get to know each other, talking and everything. And then Jinx tells me, have you been up on the roof? You know, you can see the pyramids from the roof. I said, you mean it ain't no people living above me? It ain't no fourth floor? It ain't no fourth floor? Y'all, he takes me up the stairs right above me this whole time that I've been thinking, oh no, there are people upstairs on the fourth floor. This is a three-story building. It's four stories, but the fourth story is a roof. Takes me up there and I am just blown away. Now, I did not see the pyramids because it's dark. It's nighttime. But it's so phenomenal. Y'all know me. Like, that rooftop life, I'm all about it. So I can literally see the expanse of Giza. And in the morning, I'm going to go. Well, I have to be on the campus at 8 because I got to go do this blood work. So I'm praying that I'll be able to get up and go before I leave to go do the blood work. Either way, at some point tomorrow, I'm going to go up there and actually videotape daytime so that we can see. And hopefully, y'all, we can see these pyramids, because one of the things I was telling people is it'd be great if I can see the pyramids from where I'm living. I was hoping it would be from my window, but that's not happening. So we go up there, and we shoot the shit. He's giving me the rundown on what the expectations are. I was disrespected so much yesterday that the stuff he told me, I was like, oh, I got this. These kids, oh yeah, I got this. They can come from whatever angle they want. I'm ready for them, especially middle school kids, because y'all know I consider myself a middle school specialist. So, and he was like, I'm going to Cairo tomorrow, and I wanted to know if you wanted to go. And I was like, thank you, God. Thank you for sending me somebody who can help me navigate, you know. And he's totally ready to do that. See, Jinx likes to party. And he was also telling me about Emily. She's not here yet. Emily is Japanese by way of, she's Japanese by way of, I'll come back with that. Anyway, she's a DJ and she's one of the teachers here, but she's not back yet. So between Jeeks and Emily, y'all, shenanigans, y'all know that, right? Y'all know. Because Jinx is something else. He is something else. But he's so spirited and lively. And he might be in his... he might be anywhere from 56 to maybe like 61. But he has a young spirit. And he's... his pleasures are with other men. So, I'm safe. I'm safe. And I'm ready to party. I'm ready to hang out with Jinx. I'm so ready because he's done everything. He's telling me about the resorts we can go to. He's telling me about the different places we can go to. I actually find out that El Wahat Road, which is right outside the school, I can walk, and I can get to the Mall of Egypt. I can get to different places. So that was very, very comforting, because I am a walker and I need to... It kind of helps me expel my anxiety. So now that I know I can do that, the adventures are only going to get better. But he just left and it's nighttime. And today was a good day. It was a good day. And I, you know, and this is the emotional part of it, right? Like, I'm not just reporting to y'all. I'm reporting to y'all from an emotional place, because I'm very thankful that, things are working out for me. Everything is working out for me right now. It's nice out. The moon is like right in my hands. The sky is beautiful. And I'm, you know, every day I'm waking up with the right spirit and the right heart and the right mindset for success in Egypt. I know every day is not going to be easy, but if I wake up every day focused on success, then my hardest day won't be my worst day, right? What else can I tell y'all? Yeah, I think that's it. That was my day today, and it was easy. Outside of me having a high-strung boss, who I know at some point, he probably going to be like, I'm going to get cussed out. I'm going to tell y'all that right now. I'm going to get cussed out in Arabic. And I'm kind of looking forward to it, because once that happens, then we're good. Everybody's good. But, you know, people, like I said, these men, they'll talk to you any kind of way because that's the culture. And their children will talk to you any kind of way because that's the culture. It is the culture. So if you're thinking you want to teach in Egypt, it's a lot of shit you got to get used to. And you can't come up here thinking your Americanness is going to fix that, because they got something for you. A plane ticket home. At any rate, I'm signing out. I got to go get ready for bed, because I do got to get up in the morning. And I don't know what my body clock is going to do tonight. So I hope this helps. I feel like there's something I'm missing telling y'all. Camels, cows, no lights, no markers in the streets. The lady in black. yeah, I think that's it. I think that's it. So, all is good, all is well. Please check the Facebook and or the Instagram for pics. That's just how I'm gonna have to do it until I decide to give y'all a little bit more. I am looking forward to probably doing a Facebook Live once I kind of get the hang of everything, but it might only be one or two because it's really important for me to stay present and in the moment, because every time I'm reporting out, I'm really reporting the past, and I want to stay in the now. It's very important for my well-being and my health to stay in the now. So signing off until tomorrow. Signing off until tomorrow. And yeah, I'll have a little bit more Arabic in my system. Y'all should hear Jinx. He really will go in and be he be trying to imitate the Arabics when they talk. The Muslims when they talk Arabic. It's so bad. But that's Jinx, man. That's Jinx. So, the stories are now developing, and I'm excited. I'll talk to you guys later. Peace.